This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. A new animated satire about an independent film production company called Hopeless Pictures is about to premiere on the perfect place for such a series, the Independent Film Channel. It's part of IFC's new Friday lineup of programs satirizing the film world. Hopeless Pictures is produced, directed, and written by my guest Bob Balaban, who also does the voice of one of the characters. Balaban has acted in many movies, including the mockumentaries Waiting for Guffman, Best in Show, and A Mighty Wind. He produced and co-starred in Robert Altman's film Gosford Park. His new animated series follows Mel Wax, the head of Hopeless Pictures, a production company that made the recent film There Will Come Soft Rains. He desperately wants to make a hit that will make him a real player in Hollywood. Mel Wax is voiced by Michael McKean. His therapist is played by Jonathan Katz, who we'll hear from a little later. Here's Mel Wax and his therapist talking on the phone in the opening scene from Hopeless Pictures.
Dr. Stein.
Speaking.
Buddy. Hey. It's Mel Wax. Have you got a minute? I gotta just touch base with you here. Everything's coming apart. I'm getting a very bad vibe from this picture we just previewed. I had a screening last night that, if they had stood up in the audience and said, Mel Wax, leave the business, it couldn't have been more specific. I've got a disaster in Zagreb, which gets worse every day. I have an insane Swedish pill-popping director. My wife thinks I'm cheating on her, which, of course, as we both know, I am. I think I covered...
Mel, first of all...
I'm saying it's angst. Called angst.
Slow down for a second, because, you know, this is the good news, is that all of your problems are real.
You know, a lot of people have this very idealistic view of what independent films are like. You know, Hollywood, it's cutthroat, it's egotistical, everybody's sleeping with everybody else, and it's all about celebrity. But independent pictures, that's about art. That's not about commerce. But, of course, your series, Hopeless Pictures, is set in the world of independent movies, but everybody is still totally egotistical. Insecure at the same time. They want to make big money. Everybody's sleeping with everybody. But it's just on a smaller level.
I was going to say, independent movies, big Hollywood movies, I guess you sleep with the same amount of people, you lie to the same
famous.
Amount of people, you just don't make as much money.
Right.
That's all. You don't make as much.
Why did you want to do this series? Now, it's on the Independent Film Channel. I'm not sure if they came to you and said, give us a funny series about independent movies, or whether you wanted to satirize independent films and went to them.
A couple of years ago, the Independent Film Channel did come to me and asked me to design their image campaign, which is a series of commercials that promotes their network that they show on the network. And the goal is, don't make it look like a commercial, which is a fun goal. You know, I like that goal. So I designed for them 5 animated 60-second spots about a movie studio. And this was a movie studio that only made, their motto, their slogan was, no movie is too small or too depressing for us. And we tracked one movie through these 5 commercials. The movie was called Dance with Pain. And truly, once you start satirizing or attempting to satirize this stuff, you start looking around and that's a pretty viable title, as it turns out. And the idea was they had to make a movie that had no entertainment value of any kind and was just absolutely depressing. And in fact, at one point, in the second commercial, they tried to get Susan Sarandon to star in the movie. And I forget what Susan wanted something. I mean, her character wanted something, not Susan. And they decided not to have Susan do the movie and instead hired their cleaning lady to be the lead in the movie because she was really Polish. And the movie took place in Poland. Anyway, I made 5 of these spots, and then the Independent Film Channel came to me about 8 months ago and said, we had such good reaction to the spots, would you turn it into a series?
You play the studio head's inept nephew, who's the head of production, very insecure, with good reason. And why did you give yourself that role?
I thought I should be on the show because I thought I'd be jealous if I weren't on my own show because, I'm an actor too. And, what if it's really successful? I would have lost an opportunity to get a job without auditioning. I'm really mostly the only person on the show who uses a kind of different voice. And I just thought it would be fun. I've always wanted to be a voice on a show. And I thought it might be fun to be a different character, although I myself am, you know, it's not a huge stretch for me to play an insecure, neurotic Jewish guy from a city somewhere. But the character is a little bit different for me, and I just did it because I thought it would be fun.
Bob Balaban, Jonathan Katz played the role of a psychiatrist on his own series, Dr. Katz, which used to run on Comedy Central. Why did you want to cast him as a psychiatrist in your series?
Well, I was actually on his show once as a patient, and I probably am one of the few patients on the show that benefited from his psychiatric treatment. I thought he was fantastic.
What did he tell you?
I don't know. I think it was just the act of I needed somebody to listen to me, and it just made me feel better when it was over. I thought he was a psychiatrist, to be honest with you. I mean, I know he's a comic and a funny, wonderful guy, but he is so unerring in the things that he says and in the way that he talks. It's very hard to believe he's not a psychiatrist. So when I thought we needed some glue to glue all of us characters together in this Hopeless Pictures thing, I just thought it would be great to have him be the psychiatrist we're all talking to. And because it's California and because we're in the movie business, we are always driving around and we are always in our cars and other places, always on the telephone. So he's a therapist who literally never sees any of us in person. We only talk to him in 2 and 3 minute increments on the telephone. That's, in fact, in one episode, one of the patients has an emergency and ends up in his office, and everybody's very surprised to see each other because they probably have never met before.
You've been in several movies that rely on a lot or a little improvisation, including Best in Show, Mighty Wind, Gosford Park. What's your approach to creating an improvisatory atmosphere for your new series, Hopeless Pictures?
Well, I think you put it, in your question is the answer to me. It's much more about setting up an atmosphere where people feel comfortable, happy, relaxed, focused, and then getting the right people in the room together. And in this case, it's very much about trying to know everybody well enough to know that there are certain situations that some people flourish in and certain combinations of people that will do better than other combinations. It's really as simple and as complicated as that. And when I watch Christopher Guest directing these wonderful special movies that I'm so happy to be a part of, I'm very, very struck by how frequently the best direction is to be quiet and let somebody go on for a while and then swoop down and control things if you need to. A little more of this, let's go not go there, let's start here, let's end there. But Christopher, has taught me just a great lesson that I'm always attempting to learn better, which is to shut up a lot. Set up a situation, get the right people together, and let them hang out there for a while. Give it time.
You've been on the show several times, and at every point, in every interview that we do together, there's a point in which I ask you to just describe your family history in the industry. So this is that point in this particular interview. So just sum
up.
Well,
I don't mind it. I'm happy. My dad was born in 1909 in Chicago into a kind of a poor Russian immigrant family that had a little grocery store. It probably was more like a little delicatessen that sold lettuce on the side, basically. 9 people living in a back room, absolutely poverty-stricken, with no hope of anything. But my grandmother was this genius woman who came over and refused to be daunted. So she went to the Nickelodeon, saw a movie, came back and said to the 7 brothers, "We're going in the movie business." Can you imagine, you know, what that was like at that time to be saying this? I mean, it was insane. What could they do? Well, it turned out all the brothers got infatuated, and within 3 years, they had 10 Nickelodeons. Within 10 or 12 years after that, they had 70 theaters throughout the Midwest, mostly in the Chicago area, that were picture palaces. You know, they were designed by an architectural firm of Rap and Rap. They looked like Arabian Nights. They had gargoyles and fountains and ushers that marched with uniforms and prizes that they gave away. The Marx Brothers had some of their earliest beginnings at some of my family's theaters, Balaban and Katz in Chicago. And they showed a lot of great movies. And eventually, Barney, the oldest brother, went and ran Paramount for 35 years. And Katz of Balaban and Katz went and was head of production at MGM for a number of years. And my dad was instrumental in a lot of development in the cable television world. So I've got a lot of roots back there.
So what do you think your uncles and father would find most unrecognizable about the movie industry today?
I think Barney would be very surprised, you know, to realize that movie studios are run like businesses now. I mean, Barney was very businesslike and made, and Paramount did, had wonderful profits, you know, when he was in charge, and he was very cost conscious. But he was also very concerned with the quality of the movies. And as you know, every movie studio had a kind of a profile. You know, MGM was known, you know, big musicals, very romantic things. Paramount did a lot of classic sort of heroes and famous literature. And, you know, they were, everybody, they kind of had a little corner on a market. And the reason they had that is that the people who ran these studios actually owned the studios and made movies that appealed to them, starring people that appealed to them. So the largest thing that's different now, and it's the most obvious thing one could say, and yet we don't always think of it this way, there's nobody whose heart is on the line with the making of the movie now. The marketing department is in charge of what gets made. The advertising department has to say, well, what's the one sheet? We can't make this movie. We can't advertise it. And, you know, the movie world is different. It opens on, you know, you live and die on a weekend right now. So the function of movie stars is radically different from the way they had to function in the 30s and the 40s even. But the simplest thing is that movies used to be made by studios that were run by one megalomaniacal, either genius or idiot, I suppose, but who did whatever they wanted because they thought it would be appealing. Now they're run by committees, and it's a very different world.
Well, Bob Balaban, I wish you good luck with the series.
Thanks, Terry. Always good to talk to you.
Bob Balaban produces, directs, writes, and co-stars in the new animated series, Hopeless Pictures. It premieres Friday night on the Independent Film Channel.